We'll be in Acts chapter 1 today. Acts chapter 1. We'll focus in the month of April, heading towards our anniversary Sunday. So that'll kind of be our focal point coming into this month. It's convenient. Today is like the early years. I'm preaching to just a handful where two or three are gathered. It's funny. we've taken a little bit of a hit attendance-wise, obviously, as of late. And then you add in people getting sick and things like that. And very quickly, it's spent the whole several months kind of planning for the 10th anniversary Sunday. And I didn't expect us to go back to attendance that we were back in the first Sunday. But hey, we'll take what the Lord gives us, and we'll be thankful for it. And that's really what the sermon's about today. We'll look at the, in my opinion, a refocus. We took a couple weeks to look at Easter and to focus in on Easter. And now we kind of come back to our theme for the year of Pray It Forward. It's amazing, not amazing like a surprise, but God knew what we needed for this year. And so when we're looking at the current setting of the church, well, what now? I don't know if you've asked that question before. I assume you have in your life at some point asked, what now? Something didn't go as planned, something didn't go as expected, and you're sitting there and you're going, well, what are we supposed to do now? Well, really, it falls right in line with what the theme for the year is. It's pray. Pray forward. Pray for help, pray for growth, pray for strength, pray for blessing, all of these things included. And in Acts chapter 1, we're going to see the answer to what now. Let's start in verse number 9. We'll really focus in on one verse, but let's start in verse number 9. The Bible says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So this is the ascension of Christ back into heaven. And verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, and where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James." Verse 14 is the verse we're focusing on today. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren." So we ask the question, what now? You know, when the disciples were standing there and they were watching Jesus ascending into heaven, and the angel said, "Why stand ye here gazing up?" I think the answer was obvious. Well, we just saw something pretty spectacular. But they say, "Why stand ye here gazing up? And this same Jesus will come again," and so on. And then they began to go on their way, and they returned, and they went into this this upper room, and they sat there, all the disciples, the 11 that were left, and the women that were there as well. And it says in verse 14 that they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That's the what now. What now? Well, now we continue in one accord with prayer and supplication. There's my 3 points today. And we're going to look at that this morning, and we're going to ask first that the Lord would help us. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to open your word. Thank you for this church and the opportunity that we have to minister. Lord, we're so thankful that we can look throughout the years and see your blessings in the highest of attendance and the lowest of attendance. Lord, that we can look back and see your provision and your continued providence in this church. And Lord, we pray that you would help us today as we ask the question, what now? Where do we go? What do we do? And Lord, I know that your word answers that question. So I pray that today as we look into this, that you would encourage our hearts, Lord, that you would challenge us as well, and Lord, that you'd help me to present it in a way that is clear and correct, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've got 3 points here, and they're laid out very nicely for us here in verse number 14. And we look at this idea of what now? As a church, what now? The theme of pray it forward tells us very clearly what is expected of us. That we're going to continue to pray, and that we're going to seek God's help moving forward, that we would pray the church forward, that we would move forward as well. And we see here what the disciples did after Christ's ascension, where they had to ask the question, what now? They were waiting on the movement of the Holy Spirit in their lives in a way that would be spectacular, that would be miraculous, that would be unlike anything else that we've seen in history, where they would go and preach at the day of Pentecost. But we see here this moment in between, this moment before the miraculous revival and the moment right after a great sight that they had seen. And what did they do? Well, the Bible tells us they did, well, one thing, but 3 things is the way that we lay it out today. First of all, we see in verse 14, they all continued. They all continued. 3 ways that we can continue today is that we can continue with God. We don't want to continue just doing what we want to do. We don't want to just continue in our own strength and in our own power. We want to continue with God. We want God's presence. We want God's power. We want God's movement. Matthew 15:32 says, Christ speaking right before the feeding of the 5,000, I'm trying to remember if this is the 5,000 or 4,000, but either way, before miraculously feeding people, he says, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me. Christ looked out and there was a multitude of people who were following him. And where he went, they went. And they listened and they were taught and they were eager to learn and they were not eager to leave, which is a vast difference from American churches today where people are so eager just to get out. And you know, it's funny, I've been around church my whole life and I've seen it in every church that I've been in, and there have been times where I've been that person as well, where you just, you know, you get here and then you leave and you just kind of get in and get out, kind of a mentality of, I want to go home, I want to get in comfortable clothes, I want to relax, I want to whatever it is. I'm always a little bit amazed, and as a pastor it's different because you're not allowed just to come in and leave. Well, I mean, I guess you can. It's just frowned upon, probably. And I guess I've never tried. Maybe I should. But this idea, I just sit there and go, well, why are people so fast to leave? You know, and it's usually those people who complain about, well, no one talks to me. Well, there's no time to talk to you. You got to stick around a little bit. You know, there's more than one person. And so you just got to give some time. But people who run out, they miss out, right, on fellowship, and they miss out on encouragement. They miss out, I believe, on prayers. When you start having conversations with people, you start learning about things about them, and you pray for them differently because of conversations that you've had with them. And so I think you miss out on things. And so when we continue and we hang out and we're together, that's a good thing. But listen, most importantly is that we continue with God. To have time that we spend, that we're eager not to leave God, not to leave the things of God, not to get back to the stress of life. I am never in a hurry to get back to work on Monday. I don't know about you all, but I'm not. There's not been a day that I've woken up on Monday morning and thought, I am so excited that I get to go back to work today. My boss talked about, you know, when you go on vacation and things like that, and you get back, and aren't you glad to be back? It's like, no. I was just at the beach. Why would I be glad to be here? You know, I mean, yes, there's wonderful things about work. It provides for my family and all that kind of stuff. But it's not like I wake up and I'm eager to go to work. But God is so much different than that, is He not? He should be. When we see church as work, when we see serving God as work and labor and kind of this drag, well, that's a problem. We should be eager to spend time with God. We should be eager to get into our Bibles. This multitude that was with God in Matthew 15, they continued with Him when the time of day says they should have been going home. They should have been leaving. They should have been dispersing, but they continued with Him. And God said that He had compassion on the multitude because they continued with Him. And I think about church, and I think about our church, and man, if we'll just continue with God, there have been times over the years where people have made comments to me about, you know, perseverance and saying, "Man, it's, you know, it's impressive that you're still going." And you know, man, if it was me, I don't know that I would have had the faith to stick it out, and those kinds of things. And they're saying that to be nice, but it always makes me think, my goodness, should I have quit? Like, am I stupid for continuing on? Obviously, I don't think I am, but nonetheless, this idea of just, you know, where God leads, you follow. What God says do. You just continue with Him. You don't go out on your own. You don't try to do things on your own. You know, I have people tell me, well, why don't you try this? Well, because I don't think God wants us to try that. Well, maybe if you did this a little differently. Well, I mean, I've prayed about it. I don't think God wants us to do it a little differently. So we're just going to continue with God. And what does that mean? Well, that means that whatever happens is because of God. And we're going to just trust in that. We're going to continue with God. Not only do we continue with God, we should continue in God's Word. We see here in John 8:31 says, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." The word disciples that's used there in that verse means learner. So if you continue in my word, then ye are my learner, disciple indeed. What do we learn? Well, we learn truth. John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So as we continue in God's Word, we continue in truth. Truth gives freedom. Truth gives liberty. And to be spiritually and emotionally and mentally free is indescribable. When you continue in God's Word, you are given a freedom because the truth sets you free. You are given a freedom that you cannot explain, that you cannot describe, that is hard for people to understand, that you really only understand if you do it, if you experience it, that the truth is making you free. No more bondage when you're following God, and when you're following God's Word, then you're handling sin the way you're supposed to. So you're not sinning, or when you sin, you're getting forgiveness of sin and restoration, and that gives you freedom from guilt. There is a bondage by sin that has been felt throughout the ages, where people have been shackled by sin and the guilt that sin causes. And when God sets you free from that, there is a liberty then to live. People talk about, following God. You have the rules and regulations and guidelines and standard where you have to just kind of walk this straight and narrow line, and it contains you and it holds you and it keeps you from enjoying life. But the reality is walking in obedience to God and His Word gives us a freedom to live life as God desires for us to do so, and in turn receiving the blessings of God along the way. But we have to continue in God's Word. We are never going to stray from the Bible's pathway for our church. We have designed, I'll use that word as lightly as possible, this church in a way that holds tight to God's Word, and so that it cannot stray away from it. There are methods, worldly methods, that may not or may be bad. It could be argued. But there are worldly methods that we're not going to do in this church because we're continuing with God and His Word, and it's things that we've prayed about and studied through and said, it's just not what the Lord wants for this church. So we're going to continue. And you know what? I told our church in Indiana this back when I was pastoring there. And you know, someone said something about, well, if we did this, I bet we could see more people. And I said, if all we cared about was filling the pews, we could do it. We could do it next Sunday. I mean, you can fill pews, but that doesn't mean success. It doesn't mean that you're doing things right. It just means that you got a full building. And so we continue in God's Word, trusting Him to produce fruit for the labor that we do, fruit for the witnessing that we're doing, fruit for the invitations that we give, and we just continue in God and His Word. But not only those two things, we also need to continue in God's love. John 15:9 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." What what does that mean, to continue in God's love? The way that I have it down is, I mean, to continue in the possession of God's love, to continue in the enjoyment of God's love, and to continue in the covering of the love of Christ. To be able to continue in God's love. Understanding God loves me. God loves His church. God loves His purpose. And I'm just going to continue in what God loves. And therefore, I'll continue to be covered in the love of God. Does God love me when I sin? He does. He still loves me. But we looked at it in 1 John. If you want the fullness of God's love, the full impact of God's love, the full benefit of God's love, well, you've got to be walking in His love. You have to be living as God desires for you to live. And so to continue in God's love is to love as God loves and to be loved by God. To continue walking knowing that I possess God's love. To continue living knowing that I can enjoy God's love. And to continue serving knowing that God is covering me in His love. Here are these disciples and these women in the upper room. It says they continued. Why? Is it because all their hope was gone? No. That's the exact opposite. They continued because they knew what Christ had done for them, and they knew what Christ had promised them, and so they continued. And when you look at any church in the world, if they can focus in on what God has done for them and what God has promised them, they'll continue. They won't falter. They won't fail. They'll just continue. And that's exactly what these folks did. Then we see the second thing in verse number 14. Not only did they continue, but how? They continued with one accord. The word one accord, the words one accord means unanimous. The idea is knit together by a strong bond. It's different than what we'll read about when we look at one mind and one heart. There's similarities for sure, but it's a different idea here. It is this bond that knits together, and the bond is Christ. So this one accord is being bond together by Christ and having a unanimous feeling about it. All throughout the early church, we see this one accord. Acts 2:46, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So you see the singleness of heart in there. But with one accord, a unanimous mind, with this strong bond together, they continued daily. Acts 4:24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Again, it's this bond together in Christ. Acts 5:12, they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Acts 8:6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Acts 15:25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you. This idea of this early church and Acts being bond together, closely knit together. Why? Because of God. And so being of one accord, and again, it's very similar to singleness of mind and singleness of heart, but it's slightly different as well. And it's a bond that brings us together, and that bond is Jesus Christ. And so having one accord then, as we continue forward in God, in God's Word, in God's love, to have that bond over what God has done for us, allows us to move together unanimously. You know, when we talk about moving from Lexington to Richmond, the church, and every time I talk to especially someone ministry-minded about this, and I'm just sharing with them the story of our church and everything, then one of the first things that comes up is, well, how many people did you lose changing cities? Because that's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's not that far, I get that, but still, you're going from Lexington to Richmond. Let's face it, Richmond's different than Lexington in many ways. And so the question's on, and I said, you know what? We wouldn't have even moved if we were going to lose people. I said, we asked the church voted on them. It was unanimous that we look at the building. It was unanimous that we buy the building, and we moved. Why? Well, the church was of one accord. Knit together. We all had the same goal, the same purpose. We all were looking at the same benefit. We all realized this was a blessing of God, and we moved. And I'll tell you what, when I first saw the building and looked at it, and my first thought was, man, this would be so nice for our church. I was like, but I don't know that we can move from Lexington to Richmond. I was far enough along where I really didn't care what other outside churches thought about it. We had people who'd supported us to come to Lexington, and we appreciated that. And I'm sure that there were some people that could have looked at that and been like, well, you said you were going to Lexington, and now you're moving to Richmond. What's the deal with that? But at that point, we weren't receiving support anymore, and I just really didn't care what they thought. But I did care about what we thought. What did the church thought? And I wondered to myself silently, you know, man, this is an opportunity, but will people be willing to move towns? And you were. One accord. We're challenged in Philippians 2, verse 2. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Same love and one mind are similar to one accord. But the idea of being one accord shows strength. Strength together. Singleness of mind and singleness of heart show unity. But of one accord has the picture of strength. The church is strong because it is bonded together, ultimately around Christ. You can be bonded around other things, but if you want true strength in a church, you have to be bonded around Jesus Christ. In one accord, strengthened by your bond in Christ. And that's what we have to do now. We have to continue, and we have to continue in one accord. And then number three, we come to this again, it ties it all together. How do we continue? How do we continue with one accord? It says here that these disciples and women, they did so in prayer and supplication. We see here this, that brings it all back to the theme of the year of praying it forward. In prayer and supplication. There's three times in Scripture that we see the phrase prayer and supplication. We see it here in Acts 1:14. We see it in Ephesians 6:18 when the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. And then in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. I truly believe that a church that prays together, that prays for each other, that prays for God's help and God's leading in the church is going to be a church that continues in one accord. I've been blessed in my life to see many ministries, a lot of different churches and a lot of different areas of the country. Spent time, whether it's just a week or whether it be more time than that, or sometimes just a day, but to see and experience churches across the country. And I've been in big churches, and I've been in small churches. I've been in city churches and rural churches. I've been in churches that I would say appear to be alive, and I've been in churches that appear to be dead. And the things that you can tell in a church is how much people pray. Can God answer the prayers of one person for a group of people? Yes, I believe He can. But when you see the strength of God and the movement of God is when everyone is praying. I have met many pastors in my life. I mean, thousands. And every single one of them prayed for their church. And every single one of them had a burden for their church to, probably the wrong word, but for their church to succeed. They all wanted God's movement. They all wanted God blessing. They all wanted God working. Every single one of them. The problem is that there are people in churches who don't have that same desire. For whatever reason. It's not to say that they don't ever have that desire, but it's not a consistent desire. You know, people go to church for different reasons. Some people go to church to feel good. Oh, I went to church. I did what I was supposed to do. I've learned that more and more working in the secular world. Where there are people, lost people, who just like, well, I know that I'm supposed to go to church, so they'll go every now and again, and they feel good about themselves. All right, I did what I was supposed to do. I feel good about that. There are people who go to church to get helped, where they are in need, and they have financial needs, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, whatever it is, and they go to church seeking help. There are people who go to church to offer help. They're the ones searching out the people in need. Trying to find that need, trying to help wherever they can. There are people who go to church trying to earn their way to heaven. There are people who go to church because they have to. Children, spouses, I got to go. And if I don't go, I'll get in trouble. I got to go. There are people who go to church out of duty, out of responsibility. You know, the reality is church is designed to be a place where people enjoy, look forward to, and leave refreshed from every single week. And yet there are churches, I would say the large majority of churches, where very few people are eager to go and leave refreshed. A lot of people walk in and out of a church the same way. They walk in tired, concerned, weighted down by the life that they live, and they leave the exact same way. You've heard the phrase before, you get out what you put in. I've learned that church is the same way. You get out what you put in. If you put in prayer for God to work, you get worked. So that's probably not the right grammar for it. But God works. The people, it's funny, you know, you have people who are always like, I'll use invitations. We don't have a lot of people who move in the invitation time, which is fine. There's people in there, there's always been, it seems like in every church I've been in, where someone's always like, well, that person always goes forward, but I don't know why in the world they would do that. They don't need, they're the most perfect person in the church. They seem like they're living the best life, and God has blessed them. Like, why in the world are they going forward? Because you get out what you put in. If you put in prayer and you put in a desire for God to move and to work and to better your life, to better your heart, to clean and to restore and to continue and to provide and to lead and all those kinds of things, guess what? God does those things. Why? Because whatever you ask, God's going to answer. And so you have this mindset where people come into church and they're there because they're supposed to be there. But you know what? The things from Saturday or the things from Sunday morning or the things from Friday at work are still on their minds. And they kind of just sit in a daze in church. Listen, I've been there. You just sit in a daze. Sometimes you got something going on Monday and you're just sitting there. Maybe it's just life and you're just like, man, everything starts again tomorrow. And you just walk in, you sit down, you're thinking about what's ahead in the week ahead. And you're so tired because you didn't go to bed on Saturday night. and you're just sitting there, or maybe you couldn't. Maybe you had to stay up for work or for whatever reason. And you're just tired and you're drained. And you're just sitting there and you're just sitting in the pew, just there. There physically, but not mentally. Well, if you didn't give anything, you're not going to get anything. Now, I'm thankful that God and His Word is sharp and it pierces and it influences and it impacts. And I'm thankful that there have been times where I've been sitting in a service dazed and something of God's Word just pierces my heart. The night that I believe God called me into ministry, I was sitting in a service. It was in the middle of summer, I was at camp, and I had done worked all day, had done skits in the earlier part of the service, and so I had come around and slipped into the back part of the auditorium, and I was not paying attention to the word the preacher was saying. And my mind was just kind of just thinking on things, and something that was said, and I don't remember what it is now, but something that was said kind of caught my ear during the sermon, and then I got to thinking on it. And I still didn't listen. I know this is a horrible illustration. I didn't listen to anything else that the preacher was saying. But God began to work in my heart. And I started to look at where my life was and where my life was headed and where my desires were. And just, it was so blatantly obvious they were wrong. And I just remember sitting there. The invitation came and the workers, the staff, were supposed to go to the front and help, you know, with the campers. And I stayed back at my seat, and I just prayed. And I just said, God, I know that where I'm headed is not where You want me to be headed. I know that what I'm doing is not what You want me to be doing. And Lord, I commit to you to do whatever you want me to do and to follow you. And God had made it clear in my heart that night that where I was headed for a secular life and a secular job and all those sorts of things, that that's not what God wanted me to do. It's what I wanted to do. And it's funny, last night the Final Four played. Nate Oates, the coach of Alabama, he is living the life that I wanted to live when I went to college. And he went to the same college I went to. His dad was one of my teachers. And I looked at it, I actually smiled and chuckled at it. I thought, you know what, there was a time in my life where that was my dream, what he's doing, coaching the Final Four, big name school, options. I'm sure he's getting phone calls every day from people looking to hire him away from where he's at now. And I just kind of chuckled at it, and I thought, man, and I contently chuckled. Like, I'm happy where I'm at. And it's intriguing to me to look at the path that I wanted to go down. It could have happened. It was possible. But it's not the path that God wanted me to go down. And I look at our church today and I think, you know, what now? What now? Well, when we pray, when we put in, we get out. Can God answer my prayers for this church? Yes, He can. Is God more apt, I don't know if that's describing it the right way, but is God more apt to answer the prayer for this church when we are all continuing with one accord with prayer and supplication? God, help our church. He is. He's capable just to answer my prayers, or He's capable just to answer your prayer. But He loves it when a church is of one accord, praying together, God, help our church. Direct us. Provide for us. There have been people that I've invited, that I've witnessed to, that I continue to invite on a weekly basis, but haven't walked through the doors yet. And there was a time where that would be very frustrating for me. But I've watched God over the years still bless, whether it was with those people or somebody else. So I just keep on doing it. All right, so how much more then will God reward or bless or answer the request if we're all doing the same thing, of one accord and of one mind, in prayer and supplication? Lord, bless the church. Lord, bring people in, whether it's the people that we are individually inviting. And if you're not inviting people, then you need to. But the people that we're individually inviting, the people that we're sharing the gospel with, God, bring them in. Or if it's just other people out in the community, Lord, bless the effort. Bless the work. Bless the labor. Answer the prayers. Bring people through the door. Now listen, I have never been, nor do I ever want to be, a numbers-minded pastor. It's not about having 100 people, 200 people. Although that would be awesome, and I'd be very, very happy, for sure. But the desire has always been, God, give us people that we can help and use us to impact lives, and then use them to do the same. So bring them in. Help us to be the church we're supposed to be. Help us to be the people we're supposed to be. And use it, Lord, to bless. Before God does something great, when you look throughout Scripture, you're going to find most of the time God's people having a heart to pray. God had told the disciples, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost and fill you with the Holy Ghost. The disciples could have just sat around and waited. And that's what I've always kind of been taught that they've done. And then they went and they just kind of hung out until the Holy Spirit came. No. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication until the Holy Spirit came. And then they went out and preached the gospel. There's just not a moment where you can read in Scripture where God just says, sit around and do nothing. There's just nowhere in Scripture where it says that. Praying is not nothing. Calling out to God is not nothing. And anybody can do it. Maybe you've been in churches before where you've had shut-ins, and in most cases that I've seen when you have shut-ins, there's at least one, if not multiple, shut-ins that are faithful prayer warriors. And sometimes you can get this mindset where, you know, well, I can't physically attend, I can't physically make it, and it just kind of shuts you down. Because it can be lonely and depressing and discouraging. But there are people who have had the spiritual strength to continue in prayer. And many have been so faithful until the day of their passing, have been faithful to strengthen the church through prayer, even though they're by themselves often. They pray. Prayer is not nothing. But if we're going to continue with God, continue in God's Word, and continue in God's love, and if we're going to do it in one accord, we have to do it through prayer and supplication. And if we expect God to move in our church again, well, we have to pray. Because there's not history, history at least does not show us a time where God's massive movement, there was not prayer first. The great revivals started with prayer. One, two people in a room together praying. Pentecost followed prayer. Was it in God's plan? Was it in God's design? Yes, of course it was. But what did the disciples do? They continued in prayer. I believe that a praying church will be a blessed church. I believe that a church that prays of one accord and the common strength of the bond that they have in Christ, and obviously of one heart and of one mind as well. But prayer changes things. We trust prayer for a lot of things, don't we? Say, God, I need financial help. Lord, I need you to provide for us in this need. We pray for it. Physical needs. God, we need you to help the physical needs that we have. I'm sick or going through this or whatever it may be. And we pray and we expect God to help us with these things. Well, you know what? The church needs prayer. God has blessed us financially. The church is in a really good spot financially. And I'm thankful for that. Trust me, I am. But a church isn't a business. And for us to be effective and impactful as the church that God designed and God wants for us, we have to be faithful to continue of one accord in prayer. And when we do that, God will answer. And when we do that, we're going to see the results that God intends to show us. And we're going to see that it's God who brought people in. Now, I say that, and again, I've already said we can't do nothing. But if we depend on a method, if we depend on ourselves, if we depend on anything other than God to grow the church will not grow, at least not in a healthy way. And I'll tell you, it's the hardest thing for me as the pastor is to sit here and be patient. And to wait for God to provide. Because while I sit here and pray, I have friends who have done things that have drawn people in. And it's worked. And I sit there and I go back to God and I say, all right, God, so-and-so did this and has done this for a few years and look at their church. And God faithfully just comes back and says, continue. Continue. And so we do, dependent on the faithfulness of God, continue. And I hope that as a church we continue with one accord, and we have to do it through prayer and supplication in order to see God respond. Again, that sounds wrong. But I know that God will respond if we faithfully just continue in prayer with one accord, the bond of Christ. We march it forward. Lord, this morning we turn our attention to you. We turn our eyes to you. Lord, dependent on your help for our church. We come up on this occasion, 10th anniversary, a joyous moment in the history of our church. And Lord, we have seen attack, I believe, from Satan. Discouragement, sure. But Lord, we know that you're still here, and we know that you've never changed, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, God, we seek your help for our church. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue faithfully, to continue with one accord, and Lord, that we'd be faithful to pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. This morning,